Now, it seemed for a little while this week that the Leaving Cert was once again thrown into disarray. A very brief possibility that one of the teachers' unions was going to tell its members not to engage with the system of predictive grades. All of that seems to be put to bed. So is it now a case of full systems go for the what's left of the Leaving Cert for this year? We were joined on the line by Colm O'Rourke, who's the principal of St Patrick's Classical School in Navan, and of course a well-known GA star and pundit. Colm, good afternoon. Thanks very much for joining us this lunchtime on The Record. To your mind, are all of the concerns now about predictive grades still put to bed? Are you comfortable with the system as it's been outlined, or are there still some lingering concerns for you?
Well, there's lots of lingering concerns, and I suppose everybody has them who's a principal, but that is the way it is. I wasn't happy with predictive grades from the start. I thought the minister should have held fire, not made any announcement. And if somebody said to me, do you think you'd be able to carry out the Leaving Cert in June in a safe manner in my school, I would have said yes. I would have been, I think, quite capable of getting all the teachers on board and putting three or four or five fellas in different rooms and carrying it out safely. But
and have teachers working as invigilators and just use them in every classroom instead of in a gym or something?
Yes, and not have any outside invigilators coming in and do it from our own staff and take precautions like maths teachers wouldn't invigilate on the maths exam or so on like that. So I think it could have been done. Anyway, the minister made his decision. He's the boss. And, you know, we have to get on with it and carry it out now to the best of our ability. And I think in the circumstances, I think that they have done reasonably well with what has arisen from all the discussions.
Are you comfortable, though, with the idea of there being some sort of nationwide master algorithm that's going to produce, try and predict how well these kids would have done in an exam environment, and that could determine then their CAO access? And it seems like it's a very blunt instrument, an algorithm that could determine the rest of these kids' lives.
It is, but like, first of all, you're going on the predicted marks of the teacher. I think that's the most important thing. And there is no system which is fair. People do badly in written exams, so it's fair and unfair in equal measure, no matter what system you have. So I think in the circumstances, we have to make the best of it. I think what's going to come out of this is that the good students will still do well and that the vast majority of people will still get what they want. So I think the most important thing at this stage is to assure parents and assure the students who have been under enough stress and anxiety from all of this is that it will be carried out to the best of our ability and that people shouldn't worry about it, that the same people will still get the points that they got before in an old system and that the vast majority of people will be happy enough with what they get.
Can you be sure, or can you say that with absolute confidence, that people will get the points that they would otherwise have got? Because there is still going to be this aspect of school profiling where a kid who outperforms the average in their school, if it's a school that doesn't historically have a large number of people going to college, if they don't usually feature well in school league tables, that if you have any sort of school profiling, they're going to be inevitably dragged downwards. And that could be the difference between making your course or not.
It could be the difference. And of course, sometimes this makes for bad law, but there's always problems with exams, and there is an appeal system there as well. So I think that it has been built in as much as possible. I think the whole downside of this is that the people who then are not happy with the whole system, and it may be some of the students that you have talked about, who decide then, well, I will do the written exam in subjects where I feel I haven't got the proper mark. That exam should come up in August. I think they're talking about delay that until November. And to me, that is really an outrageous thing to do. They should put that on straight away so students can do the exam. And if they get the proper grades, that they are entitled then to go on to college in the next academic year. If it's delayed until November, students are going to lose a year in college if they improve on the grade. So I think that's very unfair. I think it's the one downside in the whole system.
So the same model that you're outlining there that you think could have worked in June, where you could have had schools providing their own invigilators, having them in small classrooms, that option could still be rolled out in August as a fallback or as a second choice?
Absolutely, because you're talking here, Gavin, about very small numbers. I think that you would be talking about maybe less than 10% of people who will opt to sit a written exam. And in those sort of cases, like, you know, you're talking in some schools maybe having between 5 and 10 students might decide, I want to do the honours maths paper or I want to do an honours Irish paper. It might even be less than that. So it would be easily carried out. I think that is a big problem because obviously in years gone by you had a high-profile case in the High Court where Rebecca Carter, I think it was her name, took the case, and she was quite right and proper to do so, that she was being denied access to a college course because the SEC, the State Exams Commission, weren't efficient enough to get the appeals process in time to allow her to go to college within that academic year. So there's precedent there of people being denied a place in college and taking actions. And I could see that as the legal loophole in this whole system.
Sure. Have you managed to give any thought at this stage to whether social distancing, as it currently stands right now, would have much of an impact in how you can reopen in September? Or do you even still think of this case that there's a case to be made that you should be reopening for some time in June? I know you wouldn't usually have been anyway, you'd usually have closed by now, but that you should reopen for the first and second and fifth years, at least to have some sense of community and to put a bit of structure on their summers.
Well, I think if social distancing at 2 metres is kept in place, then there is no school in September. It's just not possible to do that in a secondary school system. I certainly think that if it went to 1 metre, it is a game changer in terms of school. And because of that, and because of the fact that young people in general are not affected very much by this, I think that the primary school should be open now for a period before the summer holidays.
How disruptive would 1 metre be? How would that have to change your day-to-day practice?
Well, you'd have all the desks separated. But the big problem for secondary schools is that you have a block of classes going on, say, for an hour, and then everybody maybe moves rooms. So the traffic on corridors, particularly in old schools who have narrow corridors, you couldn't really have distancing, particularly in a place like ourselves where we have over 900 boys. It would be impossible to do it in that sort of a setting. So I think things are going to have to change if we're going to go back to school as normal. You could have school maybe for 1 year at a time, and maybe even half a year at a time. So you could end up in a situation where students might be in 1 day in 5 or 1 day in 10, and that's not school at all.
No, we'll have to figure out some sustainable way of making that work. Colin, putting on your other hat, of course, a long-standing GA star of renown, a well-known pundit in paper and on screen as well. What do you make of John Horan's declaration that there isn't going to be any GAA at all while there's still social distancing? Does it sort of take the discretion out of people's hands that he's deciding that people can't play, even though perhaps they might want to play and take that risk into their own hands?
Yes, that's absolutely true. I was hoping John Horan would say something different, but the only thing I can see is that he is saying that, but he has now brought together a medical committee to give him further advice. I would hope that medical committee will soon report back to him and say that he should be opening GA grounds, particularly for young people, because I think the rate of infection under 15 is less than 2%. And I think that young people should be out playing at the moment. I think it would be possible to frame different type of maybe five-a-side games where you would have blocking but no tackling, and maybe GA grounds could open up, play for 10 or 15 minutes a side for 10, move them out, move in another group. And then you have the whole issue where you have walking tracks around grounds which are closed and forcing older people onto the road to walk. I think it's a blunt instrument what we have at the moment. I would certainly think that GA pitches should be open in a controlled manner.
Yeah, particularly the likes of walking tracks, because I know even in my own club, not too far away from where you are, Kiltale, usually a hurling club, but its walking track is pretty much the only community outlet there is, and it's very frustrating, almost crippling for the community, the idea that they don't have somewhere where older people can go and stretch their legs pretty safely.
Absolutely, and it's quite safe as well. I was at a club the other night and two older people walked past the gate of the club where there was a beautiful walking track available, and they were walking on a very busy road. And I just thought to myself, this is very silly. I know that John Horan has made the point that if he opened up walking tracks in Dublin, that it would be very, very difficult to sort of control them. But I think so be it. It is better to err. I think we should be urging less caution, not more. And I think young people in many cases in Dublin in parks and that, and your social distancing seems to have gone out the window with them. And I think it would be much better For the GAA point of view, to get them back playing in small numbers. The big concern for me would be that a lot of these people won't bother their head going back at all if they're shut out for a long time.
So really, do you think that the argument should be made that it shouldn't be up to the GAA to be the gatekeeper and decide whether people want to participate or not, that it should make the games available, and if there are people who, for their own health reasons or whatever else, want to opt out, then that's fine, but at least the facility should be there for them to use it and to play if they want?
Yes, and I would hope that the medical committee that are reporting within the GAA to John Horne tell him that straight away, that get the facilities open for young people. I think that because the statistics show that they are less infectious than any other group, that that's the group we need to get back playing most and get them away from sitting at home and get on devices. Get them back playing. There will be a percentage who will say, I don't want to play because I'm afraid to go home. I'm living with elderly parents or grandparents and I'm not taking a chance. And that's fine. But leave the option open for all the other people.
Final question for you, Colm. If you're asked to make a prediction right now and put money on it, when do you think there would be senior competitive intercounty football again?
Well, I would hope that there will be by late summer. I think that the date of October is much too late. I hope that we will see action in August at the latest.
As long as they rule the national leagues void and Meath don't get relegated, obviously.
Yeah, well, that could be one advantage of the system, all right.
Fingers crossed. Colm O'Rourke, good to talk to you this lunchtime. Thanks very much for your time. Colm O'Rourke,
there,
2-time All-Ireland winner with Meath, regular known GAA pundit, columnist with the Sunday Independent, and, of course, principal of St. Patrick's Classical School in Navan, joining us this lunchtime.